Natalie.
Do you know what we're going to do right now?
I don't know, but I think it's a podcast.
It's a podcast!
It's a podcast!
Welcome to our evening's podcast.
Tonight is a very special podcast because we never record at night. So here we are.
It's true. We usually do a daytime podcast.
We usually do. But tonight, we are here to delight and surprise you.
I want to be delighted and surprised.
We did a sound check that was going to be our podcast, but then we made such weird sounds that we decided to do a do-over.
It was so funny. I was just about to turn the air off, and then it went off on its own accord.
It did that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Welcome to the Create Podcast.
Where anything can happen.
Anything. It is evening edition.
Evening edition of the Create Podcast.
We are here today on today's podcast to tell you a few special things. Special thing number one is Kristen and I have had such busy little bee schedules, and we have decided to clear our schedules for this whole week to have create special fun times with each other.
Fill in the blank however you would like. We're clearing our schedules for special fun time with each other.
We're going to do all the podcasts. We're going to work on our book. We're going to drink some wine. We're just going to have girlfriend time.
I thought we were just going to lay around naked all week.
Well, I wasn't going to tell them that part.
Oh, okay. Oh, erase that. just rewind that and erase it.
Listen, whatever puts you in your dharma.
Whatever puts you in your dharma. Whatever puts you in your dharma.
Oh, I love that song. Oh. You would think you were a musical theater director.
You would think. I guess I am.
I guess you are. So I asked Kristen to do a special topic on this week's podcast because not once, but twice, Kristen has taught this very special topic without me. Now, it wasn't because she was being a bad wife to me. It was because the first time she taught this topic, she was in Los Angeles doing fancy things for fancy musicals, and I was not with her in Los Angeles, so she taught to our LA community with Katina, who's one of our LA teachers. And then the second time she taught this was in New York.
And you were being fancy. Natalie was on The Affair.
I was on set having the best time living by the beach. So I missed this topic, and I asked Kristen if we could do a podcast on it so I could learn vicariously through the podcast experience. So here we are.
Well, thank you for giving the opportunity to share. It was really fun because this topic, man, ended up being really powerful both times. And, you know, sometimes you teach something and you don't realize how much it wants to come out of you until you're teaching it. And the topic was when your dreams feel just out of reach.
Oof.
Now, the topic came from Katina, who's one of our LA teachers, and she had this experience on set for a TV show. And because I haven't cleared this story with her first, I'm just going to tell it, but I'm going to take away some of the names. But it was a really big top TV show that she was on, and she was having a moment where she saw the leads of the TV show in a room having like a bonding moment together, right? Like she's kind of caught them offset. Friendship time, a bunch of them were laughing and playing, and they were just in their, like, family zone. And at first she said she saw them, and her heart just felt all this love, thinking, like, oh my God, I love creating. I love that we're storytellers. Like, look at all the fun. And then she, like, looked down at her feet, and she saw that there was almost, like, a line on the tile that she felt was, like, a demarker, saying I'm over here and they're over there. And the thought that came in is, when am I going to be in the room? I'm not in the room. They're in the room. I'm not in the room. And so that idea of, like, it felt just out of reach. It was there, close, but not, she was still far away from it. So that's when she asked, said, let's teach about this. And she got some, like, really beautiful downloads. But what was interesting for me was to start thinking about those thoughts that come up. And no artist is immune from those thoughts that really want to tell us lies that are illusion, right? And you and I were talking about this earlier, about no matter where anyone is on the spectrum of their career, everyone has the same fears.
So true.
Everyone has the same self-doubts. I don't think you get to a place in your life where they don't exist anymore.
Right. I often think, you know, when Meryl Streep's being nominated for her 10 millionth Oscar, and she's standing up and speaking, there's never the moment where it's like, oh, I feel less reverent or less sacredness or less fear or less is what I'm saying the quote-unquote right thing.
Yeah.
You know, because every time all of us get to the next level of fear is going to follow us there, right?
Yeah.
So whether you are someone who's a member of our LA community, just had a baby, right? And she's saying, I have never in my life felt such immense responsibility and fear that comes with that responsibility as having become a new mother,
yeah.
right? Or whether it's your first time on a big set, or it's your first time being a lead on a set, or it's your first time being nominated for a big award, or it's your first time winning a big award. At any moment, at any place that you've never been before, there is a natural level of feeling like a fraud and feeling like, I do not know how I'm going to be able to do this. So I think the flaw that we often will succumb to is thinking, well, once I get to a certain level, none of this stuff will matter
yes.
anymore. But the truth is, at every level of the game, you keep being just as scared. And how wonderful, because
there's,
that means you're doing what you're supposed to do.
There's no there there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was especially interesting for me to teach this week, because this week I had some, like, quote-unquote disappointments in my directing career.
Mm.
I had some, like, career hits that would be very easy to make a narrative around
mm.
them being like big disappointments, and it could make me feel like that particular dream was out of reach.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it was right there, I had it, and then it got pulled away.
Yeah.
As opposed to going, well, this is interesting. I know the universe is for me. I know it always has my best interests at heart. So if something's happening that I want to view as a disappointment, the universe has a different perspective on it. So how can I align myself with the universal view of it has a better idea,
mm.
right? And I've told the story before of, like, when Bear was off Broadway and was supposed to transfer, and, like, 3 days before it was supposed to transfer, I got the phone call that it wasn't happening.
I always love when you tell the story of, like, the posters were up.
The posters were all over New York City.
You walked down the street and you saw the posters. Like,
it was happening.
It was
on the marquee.
Yeah.
Yeah. The 50,000 CDs had been given out all over
wow.
New York. And I was like, here it is. Here's my big break. It couldn't have been closer. And then was pulled. And the same weekend, I got the call. We have an idea about a musical with 80s music.
Which went on to become Rock of Ages, where
That's right.
you were nominated for a Tony Award.
And
the show itself was the most massive hit that went all over the world and was actually how you and I met.
That's right. And was ended up being on Broadway for 6 years, right?
Mm.
So at that moment, sweet little 26-year-old Kristen didn't have the vision to know that the universe had a bigger plan.
Mm.
So here I am now. I don't know what the universe is up to, but I know it's up to something.
Mm.
Now, what will happen always is our ego will want to make up stories of separation. And this is what I was teaching about on Sunday, was we have these sweet little egos that are always that are always there whispering these stories of fear and doubt, right? And God bless them. They want to keep us safe, right? But that there is any kind of idea that there is safety in the world, because there's
right,
not.
Right.
And a lot of the story of the ego is the programming of our conditioning, right? So maybe it's the voice of a dominant parent who gave an idea of, if you don't do X, Y, and Z, you're not going to get blah.
Mm.
So whenever there becomes a moment of, like, say it's, you have to work harder.
Mm-hmm.
So if a disappointment happens, you're going to hear the voice of that parent that says, you didn't work hard enough. Which, sweet parent, it wasn't their voice, it was what they got handed down, right?
Sure.
Or it's a bigger story of society. But our sweet little ego, who wants to understand how the world works, wants to come up with rules of why things happen and how we can protect ourselves from them happening again.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to going, I'm in a universe that loves me. Everything is on purpose. Everything is for me. Everything is directing me to my good. As Rob Bell said in his podcast that came out the other day, the universe is rigged in your favor.
Mm.
Everything is here to teach you. So with that, as opposed to making up a narrative of what is actually happening, can we step back and become curious about what wants to emerge?
Ah, oh, I love that so much. It's such a game changer. I recently was cast in something, and like, I hadn't gotten a script yet or anything, but I was offered this part, and I was so excited. And then I remember getting the script, and I really had like a really minimal part in this project. And immediately my ego is like, oh, you're basically furniture. Like, mm-hmm. what's the point? How silly of you to have gotten excited about something, you know, because obviously it isn't really that meaningful. But there was something in my heart that still felt really excited about it. And so I just wanted to follow that charm. And I ended up doing this thing, and it ended up being so exactly what my soul needed. Everything from the location that we were shooting at was so perfect for everything that I needed and the nature I needed to be in. And the people that were on set, I was telling Kristen over dinner tonight, from out of nowhere, I had the most beautiful connections and conversations with ADs and PAs and DPs and just had the deepest connections with people. And all of a sudden it occurred to me, like, I was meant to be here. And it was only my ego that wanted to judge, oh, this is a small thing, when really I just showed up to the thing because I saw it as an opportunity for something to grow me or teach me something that I couldn't see yet. And as a result, it ended up feeding me in ways I didn't even know that I was hungry for. And it was so powerful to then be able to walk away from that experience saying, I don't know what I don't know. And how interesting that my ego is always telling me, move away from this, don't do this, be afraid of this, when perhaps those very things are the things that could give me freedom and opportunity and love and perspective that I don't even know I need yet.
We don't know what we don't know. It's so magical. Yeah, and so that was what we talked about on Sunday, is like, the only game in town is oneness. The only game in town, as like Rob Bell would say, is like interconnectivity, right? Mm. This idea that we're all connected. Anything inside your mental dialogue that isn't about oneness is not the truth.
Wow.
Right? So anything
that's not oneness is not the truth.
That's how you know.
Wow.
So whenever there comes up thoughts that really are thoughts of separation, I'm never going to get there. I'm too old. It's not going to happen for me. Am I nuts? I feel like I'm too fat. Like, whatever you want to come up with. And on Sunday, we came up with, like, what are all the things the voice says? And we, like, filled up a whiteboard with them. Anytime we can hear, we can, like, look and witness that voice and know that it's telling us a story of separation, that we are far away from our dream, that we are far away from what we want, that we are disconnected to anything we think that we need, we know that it's illusion. Mm. We know it's not the truth.
That makes me think also of all the ways we think ourselves separate from each other, mm-hmm. right? That person is a bigger star than me, or that person has less than I have, or that person has more than I have, right? Or I'm not like my family. Any of these ways that we feel ourselves separate are actually ways that we are disempowering ourselves, because as we stand for oneness, we call into our army more people to help us with our dharma.
That's right. That's right. And so always the universe wants us to undo that story of illusion. It's trying to heal the story of separateness on a personal level and on a global level at the same time. Mm. So we see that with all the crisis that's going on in the world right now. The people in Puerto Rico, there's no separation. They're not different from us. They are us, right? The tragedy that's going on in Vegas, we're not separate from it. We're one with it. So the only game in town ever is oneness. Mm. And so how we heal our perception is we continually go back to that story of oneness and connection and interconnectivity. And how I want to take that back to our dharma is going to our dream. We actually are never disconnected from our dream. We are one with our dream. Thank you, computer. Thanks for the chime. We are one with our dream. We are one with our dharma. We are one with our purpose. It is who we are. We have everything we need for it. We're not disconnected from it. Mm. Now, I was telling the story on Sunday 18-year-old Kristen could not see how it was possible that she would ever become a Broadway director. Her mind could not conceive it, right? I couldn't come up with it. Yet, wouldn't it have been crazy for me at 21 or 22, because I couldn't see how, or didn't seem in reach, to get mad at myself or feel like I was a loser because I didn't know how it would happen, or to not go on the path because it could possibly not happen. Right? So when we talk about an acorn must become an acorn tree, like we never know where we are on that scale of when it's going to happen. Our job is just to go on the path and to let time unfold on itself and to let outcome unfold on itself. I was telling you earlier tonight, when I was a kid, I wanted to become an actress because I didn't know what a director was. I didn't have a word for it. So the universe gave me what I knew. I just wanted to be in entertainment. I wanted to act. I wanted to play pretend. And then as soon as I learned what a director was, I was like, wait, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
Right? And so sometimes our dharma is like that. Our path is like that. Maybe we can't see the whole perspective. We can't see the whole view of what it is our dharma is. So we say what we think we want because it's the only thing that we know until we get piece by piece how it all wants to come together. Sometimes I'll tell this to people and they'll go, does that mean I don't really get my dream? I'm like, no, you actually get your dream. You just might not know how great it is yet.
Ah, I love that so much.
It's still getting revealed to you.
And the idea of separation will also always tell us that we're like this like cosmic orphan, right? And we're the only one who knows our own pain, and we're the only one who's gone through what we've gone through. But as we open ourselves up to see that all of humanity, wherever they are, has dreams and desires of something else and something more. And, you know, in the same way that you shared that you were this young girl who thought acting, because that's what felt like the charm at the time, and then it evolved into something else. I remember myself as a little girl getting together, like, with my cousins in my grandma's basement to do, like, basically like karaoke tracks to a play.
Yeah.
You know, basically I was making a musical to Celine Dion and Sarah McLachlan songs because I was Canadian and that's what I knew.
What I wouldn't give to watch that. What I would not give.
Right. So, but what's fascinating, and here's how, for me, the story comes really full circle in a beautiful way is, you know, little six-year-old, chubby, mushroom-cut, buck-teeth Natalie, you know, singing Celine Dion songs in Grandma Roy's basement with all my cousins, making basically a kind of musical, and going on to do theater because that was something that happened in the town, the community that I was from, going on to then learn, once I finally moved to Toronto, which was a bigger city, oh, there's film and there's television and there's these other kind of worlds. And then it was so interesting how, oh, musical theater isn't actually my path at all. Although I love to sing and I love to do those things, really being on a set is really what lights me on fire, right? And I ended up really going down that path, which led me to New York, which led me to meet you, which led me to live the life that I live now. Interestingly enough, one of those cousins recently came to New York, and he's a school teacher who lives in my hometown. And he was coming to New York on this teachers conference, and they were learning all these like really cool things. And he reached out to me, I'm coming to New York. I was like, we must get together. We haven't seen each other in so long. And we ended up going up the Empire State Building and having the best time and talking and catching up. Now, it turns out my cousin Michelle, who I've really only know peripherally since I moved away from Canada.
Since the days of karaoke.
Right? It turns out that he is now teaching a class to his students in my same hometown where we knew nothing other than maybe doing like a community play. He's now teaching a class, teaching the kids in his class how to make a movie. What's continuity? How do you edit something? How do you take an idea and write it in a screenplay? How do you film it? Who's the AD? Who's doing what? And as him and I started talking, it was like I was lit up like a Christmas tree. Like, you are bringing the class that if I had taken that class when I was in junior high or in high school, my life in that moment would have transformed, right? But it just wasn't available. I just didn't know that that was possible. And now to know that this same little cousin that we were like singing songs and making silly plays in grandma's basement, he's now bringing that and making that a possibility. And that's his dharma, you know, to take that world and use it in that way. And it was my dharma to take that same world and use it in the way I'm using it. So all of us have our own personal path, and none of us have to be restricted by anything. Him and I both were not restricted by it not existing. We were both actually empowered by it not existing so that we could create it in our own ways, in our own versions of that. And it was actually the most special thing for me in the world to think, wow, like if I was growing up there now, that would be available, and it wasn't then. So it's always evolving as we really stand, no matter what obstacles or limitations our ego might set forth for us, we're always the person that at any moment could say, but from now on, it can be different.
That's exactly right. And you know, one of the things that I have found from talking with people when it comes to our dream is that people want to often look at all this evidence that their ego is giving them, right? All these stories of separation, how separate they are from their dream, why it's not happening, and then continue to tell that story. So one of the things that we did in LA and we did in New York is, what if we change the story? And we looked for evidence of how it is happening, right? So even like with Sweet Katina, like we talked about, wait, you're on the set for the show. That showrunner is one of the biggest showrunners in the business. You said hi to them that day. Like we went through your, like, this is how the evidence of, not only is it happening, it's happening now,
yeah.
Right? So one of the things, like, I did this week with, like, all these, like, kind of, like, quote-unquote disappointments that I had, I was like, oh, I am living the life of a big director who deals with big issues because that is the scale of their life, right? So it's happening now.
Wow.
So it's not that it's not in my reach. It's actually so in my hands and happening now. And it's all material for the next potential that wants to be released.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
And like you were saying about, there is a path that's individual for each of us. It's never been made before. It's never been walked before. We can't know what it looks like because it's never happened before, because each person is individual. So it is so happening right now. But what the most empowering thing we can do is look and see how it is happening now in our lives and how the next step wants to come up and meet us. It's nothing we even have to go out and search for. And one of the things that I brought in was verse 37 of the Tao, because 37 is my magic number.
Preach to me.
The Tao never does anything, yet through it all things are done. If powerful men and women could center themselves in it, the whole world would be transformed by itself in its natural rhythms. So check this out. That's the first half of the verse. The Tao, the way, our path, our dharma, it never does anything, yet through it all things are done. So that's when we have, like, someone sent me, maybe it was Danny Baum, someone sent me a meme this week that where hustle was crossed out and instead it said align.
Yeah.
So the idea of, we don't hustle anymore. We just get into the center of the Tao, right? Mm. So we don't have to do anything. We just have to center ourselves in our path, in our way. And then if we would do that, the whole world would be transformed in its natural rhythms. So we don't even have to push ourselves out of our natural rhythms. We can. So anytime you feel like you're trying to, like, make yourself be anything that you're not, that is like getting out of your natural rhythm, as opposed to being in your natural rhythm and calling where you are perfection and then seeing what happens out of that. Not being where you are and calling that horrible, right? Because that's only going to create, like, discord and not keep alignment. Be where you are, call that perfect, and from that place of perfection, see what comes out.
Well, I think that's so powerful because I think so many times, especially living in New York, and I'm sure people living in other places can relate to this too, but you get into the compare and despair game, right? And it looks like someone's posting on Facebook, I'm hustling, I'm going to this audition, I'm going to this class, I'm doing this thing, I'm sending out my mailers, I'm getting my new headshots, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. And the immediate response inside of many of us is like, well, I'm not doing that. Well, I'm not doing that. Am I doing something wrong? And actually from a space where you actually felt like you were doing okay, in the presence of that, you start comparing and feeling like you don't measure up or feeling like you're not doing as much. And all of a sudden you get into a space of constant hustle and constant trying to kind of keep up with the Joneses. And what's fascinating for me is, you know, over the last, say, month, I didn't have a single audition. And there was a certain point where that felt actually good because I was dealing with some neck pain and some various things. And I thought, oh, the break actually feels good. And then at a certain point, you see enough other people doing things and you start to feel like I'm getting left behind and I'm too old and I'm too this and I'm too that. And I started feeling really like there's all these people running this race and I'm like back at the finish line and I can't even, or the beginning line and I can't get started. And what was fascinating to me is I ended up taking like 3 days and like going off in nature and really doing nothing. One morning I went and found a beach chair and I sat and put my feet in the sand and I literally watched the ocean waves coming and going for hours and I did nothing else but watch the waves come in and watch the waves go out and the sun slowly rose in the sky and nothing happened. And every once in a while I would go to check my phone and just where I was, there was no service. And I went, how perfect. Because I'm not supposed to check my phone right now. I'm supposed to put the phone down and watch the waves do what they do. Now, in that time, I got no big revelations. Nothing changed. Absolutely nothing happened. I just felt calm. The only thing that happened was I stopped hustling.
Ugh.
But there was no big epiphany. There was no big moment of awareness. It was just that nothing happened. What then happened is when I came back from those 3 days of vacation, after a month of having no auditions, I had an audition immediately. And it wasn't from hustling or doing or trying to keep up. It was from giving myself permission to know that if that's meant to be, it'll be. And if it's not meant to be, it will not. And whatever I need most in this moment, I will be given. And something that I think we often resist is in a world that moves far too fast and is far too concerned with hustling and getting somewhere, most of the time what we need is a slap in the face to say stop and do nothing. And we resist that so much. But when we actually do stop, we create a space where everything can actually come to us rather than us going to it.
Yeah, you know, there's that book that you and I, audiobook we were listening to by Barbara Stanley called Sacred Success.
Mm.
And one of her pillars of sacred success is receptive surrender, which she says is exactly that. Stop. Stop doing. Listen. Get open. Which is interesting because here, verse 37 of the Tao goes on to say,
oh,
people would be content with their simple everyday lives in harmony and free of desire. When there is no desire, all things are at peace. Now, when I see desire here, I think of it as different than when you and I talk about desire as calling or desire as charm, right? Desire as turn on. This desire here in the Tao, I believe, is desire as attachment.
Yeah. As outcome,
right? So this is really saying, if we could be content with our lives as they are, without needing to see the proof of the outcome today, things actually unfold exactly as they're supposed to. Mm-hmm. Like, as the verse says, through the Tao, all things are done. All things. It doesn't leave out one thing. All things, including the manifestation of what we came here to be. All things get done. What you came to this world to accomplish will get done the moment that you allow life to be life and to get into harmony with it.
Oh.
Look who's coming out to play.
Hi, Coco.
It's sweet Coco Chanel. By the way, Coco Chanel has never come out for another human being in the history of me having this beautiful cat. And Natalie is the very first person she has shown her face to.
And she's totally checking me out, and I'm showing her all the leg.
By the way, I love how we talk about detachment to the outcome, because I always want to introduce her to my friends. But you and I did nothing, and yet all things were done.
Coco, you are the most beautiful girl that's ever been.
Oh, she likes you. She's coming over here.
Look at her. She's such a saucy minx. She's a girl who knows what she wants.
She's very seductive. You looked over at me because you knew I was talking about you when I said seductive.
She keeps getting slightly closer. Now she's going to smell my bag for a minute. It makes me think that the closing night that recently I was on set, and we had a beautiful bonfire on the beach with all the cast and all the crew. And we were watching the moon. It was almost the full moon. It was so bright and so beautiful. You know when it's like diamonds on the sea and the waves are crashing, and it's just the most beautiful moment that's ever been, right? And I was thinking about the waves and how rhythmic they are and how we had been... I had been at the beach for like 2 days, and the waves just kept coming and coming and coming. And I had that thought of like, oh, the moon is actually what makes the waves happen, right? But the moon doesn't do anything. It just sits in the sky, and it does what it does, and it shines as bright as it does. And the tide will move and shift. It'll bring things to the surface. It'll move things back into itself. It creates huge waves and then little waves. But it never stops having the most profound effect on the entire course of human life. And all it does is shine.
Ugh. So we're being called to be like the moon.
Mm.
You know, the Tao says we can just be, when we are at peace and in harmony with life, we affect the flow of everything by being in alignment.
And I do think that being in the space of being the moon or being in the Tao is taking action, but I think it's taking the inspired action. You have to start with the listening and the quiet and the stillness and the meditation and take the right choice for yourself, not the choice that's based on what someone else is doing. Because the choice that you make that's based on what someone else is doing is trying to almost imitate their dharma. And at that moment, the best you can do is a second-rate version.
Yeah. Can we be courageous enough to be still so that we can hear the whispering of our own dharma?
Hmm.
So here's the exciting thing.
Tell us everything.
Your dream is here. It's happening now. You are one with it. You came here with a dharma, with a purpose. Your job is just to welcome it and say thank you for being here.
Mm.
You're here already. You are expressing yourself through me. How can I become more available and more open to love you more? To allow you to flow through me?
Mm.
And to start asking empowering questions that start from the position of oneness already with the dream.
Mm.
So not questions that come from a place of separation, but questions that come from a place of oneness.
Mm.
You know, I've been playing a lot with this theory of our love team, our unseen love team, like all the unseen helpers of the universe that are around us all the time.
Yeah.
Which just change the game for you a little bit when you wake up in the morning and you go through your day and you start thinking about, there are so many unseen hands that are for me today.
Mm.
So instead of seeing how life is against you all day long, that there's just so much energy and action and inertia on your side that wants you to win and do your dharma to its highest possibility.
Mm.
So we can just tune into those frequencies and allow them. It changes our excitement.
Mm.
It changes our expectation level. It changes how we respond to the world.
Well, that makes me think, you know, how often are we expectant that a casting director or a producer is in alignment with our dharma? but were not willing to consider the person making my coffee mm-hmm. is in alignment with my dharma. The person I walk by on the street, the person I sit beside on the subway. How often are we missing our love team because we're in separatism of what we think that looks like?
Oh, I had a moment of that today. Can I tell you? So, you know, I like, if like someone asks me for a dollar, like on the street or on the subway, like I like to like, if I have it, like I like to like, mm-hmm. you know, be in the flow. Like I like to be the hand of the universe, you know? At this moment today where I accidentally got off the subway and then I was like, oh, I was just trying to change trains, but now I'm like, I need to get back on the subway. And then I was like, oh, my card's out of money. Okay, I'm going to fill it back up. And I was having that moment of like, you know, you just kind of want to be invisible to the world. It's like my sunglasses were on, like a little hoodie on. And like, I just had to refill my card. And I could feel as I walked up, there was this dude who was like, who'd started asking me for money. And I had my headphones in and I was listening to a spiritual podcast. Yeah. I love that I was like listening to a spiritual podcast.
Of course.
As I was trying to like ignore this person who was asking me for help. And I was totally doing one of those like, I'm listening to think. Maybe they don't think that I hear them. And he just kept talking to me as I was like trying to refill my card. Like, hey, could you help me out? You know, even if you can't, that's okay. God bless. Da da da. Like all these things, and he was kind of relentless until like I was just trying. It was so funny. I watched myself, who usually is in a place of like wanting to give, being like, I just want to disappear and not talk to anyone right now. And like he kept going, and then he was like, and by the way, your hair looks fantastic. And I just cracked a smile and I couldn't pretend like I didn't hear him. And I was like, I just turned to him and I was like, and I took my glasses off and I was like, that was awesome. That was fantastic. I really appreciate, like, I appreciate your fortitude. I appreciate that you went to the hair.
Yes.
And I said, and I will always give money to someone complimenting my hair.
Yes. And smart man.
Yeah, I was like, you know what you're doing. Yeah. Well done. And then we ended up having like a conversation and it was really like fun and it ended up being this like really uplifting and like life-giving. And I walked away and I was like, it's always about oneness or separation.
Yeah.
I came into it trying to be separate, forgetting that we're one and interconnected. And it was as if life wouldn't let me overlook or bypass the fact that we were one. And that we were connected. And that actually by being a human being with a human being, it would lift me up and like make my day better.
And I think that's so vital in where we are in the world today and so many events that are happening today. So many of us get very heavy with helplessness, with how big the need is, with the magnitude of sadness and grief and difficulty that's happening in our world right now. We feel like our voice doesn't matter. How can we possibly make a difference? Because the things that are happening are so big and so much bigger than us. But to me, if every single person on the planet, even one time a day, the person who's waiting on you at the pharmacy, the person who's getting you your coffee, the person on the subway, the homeless person asking for a dollar, if one time every one of us a day could look in someone's eyes and just feel from the inside out, you and I, us,
same team,
then that is the change that we're called to make, that we as artists are called to tell stories, because the stories we tell, we as actors or directors or producers or writers or artists create something that hopefully somebody connects to and says, me too. That's the whole point, is that someone doesn't feel alone. Someone feels connected to something. Someone feels connected to us through art. And if we can start to do that, not only with our art, with our voice, with our eyes, with our bodies, with our lives, with our pets, with the choices we make of how we spend our money, then we can start in the smallest way that is the biggest way to create more community on the planet. And that's really, in times that feel so overwhelming, that is really a way to say, I am taking a stand and I am doing something meaningful.
That's right. And just how that goes for another person, that goes for those thoughts of connection and oneness in our own inner dialogue. so may we have that same amount of grace and compassion when we watch our own thoughts come up and say, the thoughts of separation, the thoughts of not enoughness, the thoughts of I am not one with that I seek or that I desire or that I am manifesting. May we be able to look at all of that and say, there will not be connection and oneness in the world until there is connection and oneness inside of me. And so give me the strength and the power to heal those thoughts inside of me so that then I may extend that love to another.
And don't we as artists, when we feel like disconnected from our dharma, don't we as artists feel homeless from our own sense of self and sense of why we're here and sense of purpose? And may that feeling of there's something I need, there's something I want that I feel separate from, in the same way someone who's in that position says there is a life force and an energy and a basic human right that I am away from right now, how can we see the oneness in all of that and say, the more I stand for being in union with my dream, the more I can stand for humanity being in union with everything it needs.
Mic drop. If we could drop this mic, and it
would.
And we would. But I actually think it might break.
And Coco would get very scared.
Oh, Coco would get so triggered.
Yeah.
this has been one of my favorite podcasts ever.
Has it?
Yeah.
Maybe we need to do nighttime podcasts more often.
Oh, right.
In our cute jammies.
I love all of those ideas. thank you so much for listening to us. Thank you for your dharma, for your dream, for your purpose, for everything that you are showing up for. We see you. We know who you are. And keep moving in the direction that you are called.
The world needs you, and you are the only one who is you. So thank you for that gift.
All right.
All right. If you love our podcast, share it with a friend so that we can all be in oneness with each other. Please come join our Facebook page at The Create Community, or check us out on Twitter and Instagram at The Create Playgroup, or come see one of our classes. We would so love to welcome you to our family.
And if you loved this podcast, you know it'd be so fun.
Tell me.
If someone takes a picture of them doing their dream and tags the Create Playgroup in it.
Oh my gosh, that would be my bliss.
Wouldn't it be so fun just to have all these pictures?
That would put me in my dharma.
Or post it on the Create Facebook community to be like,
amazing.
Here's all these people and their dream is happening now.
Okay, challenge accepted. I can't wait to take my picture.
Me neither. Oh, me too. I can't wait to take my picture. I love to take my picture.
Have fun. We love you so much. Thank you so much for listening.
And have fun doing your dream.
If you want to know about the Create Workshop Series, you can go to
www.thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to know more about us, you can go to kristenhenge.com or
natalieroy.com.
And if you want to come to Create, you can go to
the Actors Green Room in New York City. And it is Sunday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And their website is www.theactorsgreenroom.com. And you can buy Create on demand if you don't live in New York City.
Woohoo!